Grand Canyon University makes earning your degree possible with over 130 academic programs for traditional campus students, with more than 80 bachelor's programs offered online. GCU provides you with the personal support you need, from complimentary unofficial transcript evaluations within 24 business hours to scholarships, academic support, and your GCU graduation team, led by your own university counselor. Find your purpose at GCU. Private, Christian, affordable. Visit gcu.edu.
If you lost Survivor and you're feeling down, David and Jessica will turn it around. They'll break down the rules and they'll show you how. You played yourself and got voted out. This is why Blank lost. And this is why Blank lost. Oh, baby, this is why Blank lost.
Welcome back to Why Blank Lost. I'm David Bloomberg, and for our first week of Survivor 42, I am not only joined by my co-host Jessica Lewis, but the two of us have two special guests, Dr. David Voce and Tiffany Seeley from Survivor 41 Yate Tribe.
Yes!
Oh, my God.
We're never going to get through this podcast. I'm just telling everybody now. I'm already crying. This is too much.
Thank you, David, for that wonderful introduction.
That was so much energy, David.
I don't know which David. He is
Voce's introduction happiness was everything.
Well, good.
Okay, anyway, keep going.
Now, we've had the two of you together on the podcast before, but that happened kind of without notice to the two Davids. And there was an immediate call from listeners for more of the both of you. So here we are.
Yes. So welcome.
Thank you. Thank you for having us.
Everyone expects it. There's no surprises.
Mm-hmm. Right. They want the both of us because, you know, the both of us didn't last that long on the island together. So now they want more of us off the island together.
That's right.
Exactly.
No calling Evian for reinforcements either.
Calling anybody for reinforcements because I am going to behave myself. And I heard that Voce is going to behave himself too. Right, Voce?
Yep, I won't ask you to cross a beam on national television again.
My God.
Hold on.
My Fiji water.
I'm sweating from that. Let me use my merge buff to just take the heat off all that. I'm sweating from that conversation. Okay. So, do you need this, Voce?
I got all I need right here.
Oh, God. Okay.
This is what I call a Tiffany survival pack. Take the whole bag, shove it in your mouth, and then swallow and hope it all works all at the same time.
Voce, this is what I call my torch that wasn't snuffed by you. Just saying. Listen, you know, you don't have to be abusive because you're on drugs because you had your tooth pulled. Everyone should know that Voce had his tooth pulled and it was traumatic for him. And
it was probably very traumatic.
Was it traumatic? Yes.
It was, you know, somehow anytime I'm on anything Survivor, when I go on actual Survivor, I have my eyes blinded. When I'm now here talking to you guys, I like fractured a tooth and this guy just rips a tooth out of my mouth while I'm awake.
You know what, Voce, he didn't rip your tooth out while you were awake. He gave you a shot and pulled it out.
But he said it was supposed to take 15 minutes. An hour and 15 minutes later, the guy's still like ripping up, fracturing a tooth into multiple pieces.
Okay. All right.
That's so hot.
We digress. This is about season 42. Tiffany,
yes,
get it together.
Right.
Yes, so. For anybody who's new to the podcast, this is not normally what we discuss. Each week we compare the game of the person voted out to the rules for winning that I originally wrote way back after season one and have been updating ever since. We will look at all the non-spoiler information available to us from what we saw on TV, interviews, social media, secret scenes. There were secret scenes for this episode.
Oh,
I mean, none of them featured Zach, but they were secret scenes.
Amazing.
We are still working on the website to get the season 42 version of the rules up, but you can see the 41 version by going to our dedicated page at robhasawebsite.com/yxlostfeed. And of course, we discussed the changes that were made in part two of our preseason podcast. So I know you might be thinking, well, what do I need to go back and listen to a preseason podcast for? But, well, you can find out the changes to the rules, which happen to mention these two people that we have here.
That's right.
We made the rules.
You are living life.
You are.
You see this?
See what?
Pythons.
Okay, Jonathan.
Let me pick up the whole trunk myself.
But I'm going to hide my strength.
Yes.
Nobody will know I'm strong.
Now, normally, even when somebody leaves for reasons other than being voted out, we still go through the rules and discuss how they were doing. But Jackson was taken out so quickly, there isn't much to go on. So instead, we'll just talk about him a bit now before we get to the rules.
Right.
I have to say that as I was watching, and people who follow me on Twitter know this, I was pretty annoyed with the way Survivor handled it. But once I saw the interviews he did, it seems like he's taking full responsibility. And he went into more detail than the show did about how they monitored him medically. You know, on the show, all we saw was Lindsay making a comment to him like, oh, you need to drink more water. And so it seemed very glossed over. And in fact, it seems like they pretty much had him under a microscope. I still feel like they probably shouldn't have even had him go out if he was going to be in that much danger. But I guess they wanted to give it a shot and see what happened.
I think we have someone here, though, that might be able to fill us in a little bit about being a last minute fill in for someone who had a medical issue that suddenly arose. And somehow Survivor managed to switch it up then? Like, how many days did you actually have notice, Tiffany, before you were on a plane going to Fiji?
Okay, so here's what's interesting. Because I was semi-casted before pandemic, there was a medication I was on that they were not that jazzed with me staying on, saying that, and it was a very, very low dose of something very...
caffeine?
Yeah, caffeine. Actually, it was actually. I'll
tell you, air. It was air.
It was her psych meds to keep her from, you know.
No. They let me stay on my psych meds, jerk.
Yeah.
So I stayed on my psych meds because I love my psych meds. Duh. Anyway, you should try and vote, Jay. It would probably help your obnoxious personality a little bit. Anyway, moving on. So here's the thing. They asked me, it was a very low dose of Valium. It was 2 milligrams, which is almost like not even a dose that I had been on for over 8 years.
That's what you use to tranquilize an elephant.
Of which that is what happened. I was still tranquilized when I was on that balance beam. I was having flashback moments to like my Valium days. So it wasn't even doing anything for me anymore because it was such a low dose for so many years. And they said, you know, and I did titer off of it because if it was going to ruin my shots of being on the show, I wasn't even putting it out there. So I went off of that with no problem, obviously. Never went back on and was off of it and didn't need it anymore, obviously, for that was for pelvic floor dysfunction, right? So to like relax your pelvic muscles from my surgeries that I had in the past. So I went off of it just to be 100% positive that nothing would stop me from going out. Mm-hmm. So with that 24-hour notice, there was nothing I was on that I had to worry about. But they were very, very careful with casting and what medications you are on. However, Voce and I did have this conversation earlier. If you don't tell them that you're on something, I mean, and then you go on the show and you bring it with you, once you get to the show and you're all the way out in Fiji, they're going to now take your stuff from you. Mm-hmm. And it's not till you're at pregame that they are taking your med bag. And that's where they would have seen it. So he would have been like,
and I'll add this because I think I had this discussion with both of you where when I was in Fiji and when we get to the pregame, they actually, because I carry my meds like this in a baggie that looks really suspicious, they take out all your pills and they actually Google every single pill so that they identify what it is.
Right.
So, you know, I agree with you, David, when you say Jackson's post-game interviews was very revealing where he, you know, like you said, he took a lot of responsibility for it. But I'm just, some of the pieces still don't add up.
I don't think it does either.
You had 24 hours notice to go out there.
Yeah.
I don't know how CBS didn't go, you know what? We can bring in somebody else. I'm sorry, Jackson.
Well, no, the difference was she got notified when, and we'll just say it because I've mentioned this before on the podcast, even though other RHAP podcasts have thought it was Mariah. It's not. It was Lindsay who was the one that, according to my sources, and you two can either confirm or deny or neither, as they both just nod their heads non-committal.
Lindsay was at LAX with us.
Yeah.
When with the LAX hotel, Lindsay showed up for the first night when we did our COVID testing.
And then and Tiffany that's exactly it. So they did the COVID testing before flying to Fiji.
What Jackson said was in LA that's when you went.
Right. What Jackson said was literally the alternate that they brought with them left earlier in the day that he revealed to the doctor that he had the medication.
Really?
Yeah.
So
Jackson did say that there's still a few things that don't really line up.
One of them
I know that someone that was on Sir 41 that got left behind was stuck in Fiji until the end of 42 because there were no flights out. So I'm not sure how the alternate got out. But the other thing is that the medical checks are not the day before you go on the show.
No. Like
the medical checks
are in LA.
In LA and then in pregame, and your pill checks, when they go through everything and identify all your pills, is long before the day before you go out there.
So they do all kinds of stuff when you're in LA still. Yeah.
Yeah. And if he had lithium on him, they would have seen the pill and they would have been able to identify it. If they did the same thing that they did to 41.
Boche,
said he only had a couple doses left. He could have had them in his pocket.
That's what I'm saying.
I mean, the thing is, and Jessica, you know this too. Yeah, I mean, they go through everything.
I was in fear. I've already expressed this once when they were going through my suitcase because I might have brought an item with me that I was like, oh God, please don't find my item. But they go through everything in your bag. So that's a long time to be, on your own at an island. And you don't know what else you'll be doing with your spare time. But I'm just saying, they go through everything. So be ready. They're going to look through stuff. And they will take things away from you without even knowing it. Because I had, and I've mentioned this before on the podcast, I had a prescription lotion that was for my face. And all of a sudden, it disappeared. Like, I went in my med bag, and I'm like, where did my prescription? And they had already approved it when they went through my stuff initially. And then all of a sudden, it was gone. And they were like, no, you're not allowed to have that. But I was having an eye infection, which was completely wrecking like my skin around my eyes. I'm like, no, I need my lotion. And they did give it back to me. But they are very meticulous and very aware of what's going on. So, it just seems odd.
Whichever way you cut it, though, it's a tragic story for Jackson.
Absolutely.
That, I agree with what you guys are saying. We literally have nothing to go on what his strategy was, whatever, because you basically had that personal montage put together about him and his past, which was awesome to hear, the transformation that he's had with his family. And then you cut to him being removed. So really, I think it made sense why Survivor did that. He was in the game for so little. There was no reason to waste time showing his strategy. But I mean, at the end of the day, it's tragic to know what he went through. To get out there. And then the other fact is that there were no planes leaving Fiji. So he actually was on that island until 42 ended. They tried to get him out and they couldn't. So he also had to, sit in Ponderosa. And then, with the pre-jury that was sequestered and didn't leave until 42 was completely done. So, you just feel for someone that he has such a positive outlook on it. Mm-hmm. But to only be out there for, 48 hours after all of this, not to get voted out. And then you have to wait there longer than I was there, wait till the end of 42 and then fly back with everyone together. That would just be
crushing. I thought it was crushing. And I think that we can all discuss it ad nauseum. But I think, whatever it is that we're not hearing is something that is, for whatever reason, it will either come out eventually or is being held.
Yeah. I mean, we weren't there. We don't know.
Yeah. We don't know. We can speculate all day long. I think even in the 48 hours, he was like a beloved character. He just exuded so much. He was just like a humble, lovely person. And, I felt very sad. And you can see, Marianne really got upset. Mm-hmm. And like, I don't cry because I'm on medication, but like when she cried, affects her. If you really need to know, it's wonderful. It's so great. for panic disorder from, you know, post-surgeries. But anyway, so
I thought it was from balance beams.
Well, that too. I needed to go. Now I'm on a different medication because I have PTSD from that balance beam.
Listen,
I just drink heavily.
Describing why you were on the Valium in regards to certain parts of your body, but I left it alone.
Yeah.
Wait, what?
No.
you were explaining why you were taking a particular Valium.
Well, I don't need it anymore, obviously, because my hoo-ha.
Maybe that's why you messed up on the balance beam.
No, I was.
Muscles weren't strong enough anymore.
You're right.
Muscles. Did you see her on that? Muscles didn't exist.
That's why I'm working out like crazy. Okay, listen.
Now that you're off Survivor, you are.
Anyway. Well,
she wants to go back.
Thanks.
Yeah.
Voce. So, you know what?
I think we can all agree we loved Jackson, even though the time was very short on the island. We feel like something's missing from that story, but we at least got to hear his story, which is lovely. Right. And that was a great moment to have, but it is crushing, devastating for all of the reasons that we've said to have to be out there for so long. So,
And I think to go off of that also, I don't think that your strategy changes so much from your pregame. But I don't think we really have anything to base off of how he was going to play. Because the post-game interviews, at least that I saw, was focused on, you know, the removal and everything.
Now, one thing that we did see in the secret scene was he was the feature. He got busted by Jonathan looking for an idol on day one. Okay, he was out there looking around. Jonathan wanders up. And I think Jonathan thought he was
still trying to count. Trying
11, 12.
Funny thing is, I think Jonathan 13. Thought he was looking for bamboo.
18.
Yeah.
22.
No, he only got to 11.
Yeah.
I got 11, but it's not my strong suit. I was like, even I got 11, and I suck at math.
I was going to say, that montage was pretty close to what Tiffany would have looked like if she was.
Let's
just be honest.
Okay,
let's just be honest here.
You know what? Here's the problem. When Voce came back from carrying his water to his bucket, and he was just playing with his little tiny blister on his toe and making such a big deal about the little tiny blister on his toe and now his tooth, I think we all know what would have happened with Voce if he stayed there any longer.
He did put a maxi pad on his thigh.
He did. Two of them.
Yes.
Two of them.
But anyway, what I was saying was...
Whatever. I don't need maxi pads anymore because my hoo-ha is dead.
My God. This podcast used to be good. This podcast has rules and you go through systematically. There was like order to this podcast.
No order.
I mean, it's just like...
Why are you not filling in Tiffany?
We knew when we invited Tiffany that there was only going to be disorder.
I get yelled at all the time because I'm not following the rules. Thank you, David. Please enforce this.
Yes.
We have an agenda here.
Please continue. 11.
So, the funny thing is,
12.
I think I do actually. Hold on, let me find it.
13. Just 15. That's.
Did you mute her?
David, best. I wish
You're
I had
unmuted.
A mute.
You're unmuted.
I wish I had a mute for Tiffany in real life.
Oh my God, this is amazing. I'm so sorry, listeners, if you have no idea what the hell is going on, but we don't either.
I was going to say, the listeners need to know that the video will make a lot more sense.
Yes, totally. Totally. Okay, we're going to have
Jonathan thought Jackson was just looking for bamboo, and then Jackson just comes right out and says, oh, I'm looking for an idol. You know,
he was owning it.
Yeah, but then Jonathan goes back to the whole rest of the tribe and says, well, in case I need to take the target off myself, because they're going to vote you out. So he tells everybody about Jackson in case, you know, they need to target somebody. Mm. One, Jonathan's not getting voted out. Two, they're never going to the tribal council before the merge with Jonathan there. So,
I know.
Do you think that?
Yeah.
I mean, it's, you know, I suppose it's possible they won't.
Did you see him picking those chests up by himself?
I did. But you know, you do. I'm going to stand by this. You just don't know, even because big guys like that, when they're not eating, I know that they have a harder time out there.
Oh, and that is true. They do become a little bit What you is don't it? Know. Like the Snickers commercials when you get hangry?
Yeah. Yeah. And they just, they, I know, I have heard from the past, in the past, that players have said that the bigger guys often suffer a little bit more than, you know, your regular average Tiffany.
So you're saying the bigger they are, the harder they fall.
I think so. I think so. That's so you why, never know.
That's why Tiffany fell so hard on the beam.
Oh, God, what a jerk. Look at him. Look at him. He's covering his mouth. You should all know this if you're listening. He's covering his mouth.
Now he's clapping for himself.
He's high. He's high on his drugs. And he's now cheering with his arms up like a fool. Jerk. Tiffany fell hard, but then she came back. No, okay?
But wait, so can we talk about this really quick? This, I don't think this is
which part?
Is this about the searching for idols on the first day? Because, okay, you know, Jackson seemed like he was a fan of the show. But then also Tori. Tori is obviously a super fan since she's played whatever that game is called.
Tori was not searching for idols. She was just looking
for
tarot.
She was looking for food.
Of course. And then she had you believing that.
Here's the thing. After being out there and all this thing, it's like these people know. Day one, it's like what Jason Linden did in 39. You have to be there with the group.
Yes.
You can't be separated. That's like the number one cardinal rule. And so it's like, you know, when you're out there... Yeah, she did at one point.
She said that, but she fooled them with her brilliant story about searching for tarot. And then she tries to gaslight the viewing audience.
That was crazy.
She told the viewing audience, haha, I have them fooled. And then in the same series, now who knows when they were shot, but whatever, she's like, well, I can't understand why I should feel guilty when I was trying to find food. No, you were trying to find a damn idol.
It was weird.
In your rules, you say like on the first time, as soon as you hit the beach, like do not stick out. Do anything not to stick out. Sticking out is bad. It's like whatever common thread, you know, make those relationships, but you don't want to stick out. And it's, I think it's like the most common thing is like, do not go searching for an idol. Do not be alone.
I think it is one of those situations too, where, because obviously you're so new once you get on the island, right? And you don't realize just how much time you do have.
Yeah.
And so I do think that there is that added, like, if I walk away for 5 minutes, legitimately going to get like bamboo or get anything, like, do I need to bring a buddy? And if I bring a buddy, then how is that going to be perceived?
Right.
Are they going to think that we're close? And so there's all of this paranoia around everything that you do.
But I'll add something here, because your season started, you were in two tribes, right, Jessica?
Yes.
So I think obviously not playing in two tribes, don't know this, but I think when you have that many people, you can't keep track of people.
And but I don't disagree with that, because when you have
six-person tribe,
can't hide.
You keep track of everyone, especially when you know, we're out with the water, doing water challenge, or someone's at a confessional, at, you know, Advantage Island, whatever. Your numbers are small. You know, especially you lose one person, you're at five, lose two people, you're at four. So you can really keep track of people.
I mean, I think everybody knows, like, you're going to go out there and you're going to, like, walk, when you're walking to the water well and you're two of them, you're looking around. Like, you're looking around, you're looking to see for the idol, but the first day, there's no need to go running around looking for it.
No.
I mean, we have, you know, opportunity to kind of look around while you're walking around the idol looking for bamboo and coconuts. If you're smart, you're looking around to see where it is. And if it is somewhere, you know, I'll make note and I'll go back another time when nobody knows. Obviously, that didn't happen for Tiffany because it was right in front of my face and I missed it, apparently, but I don't think it was there, but whatever. But the truth is, she was, you know, the idea that she thought she was fooling anybody by looking for tarot is so, it's comical. 11, 12, 13, 14. Jessica gets it. Bloomberg is like, what? I know.
I just don't understand why she's done this.
He's walking around. Then he starts counting his abs.
28, 29.
More than 11 abs. I guarantee that. But
like, the next challenge should be how many muscles are popping out of Jonathan's body.
It's the gift that just keeps on giving.
You know, I was thinking.
Bloomberg is struggling with this.
I remember after quarantine thinking, oh my God, I'm so fat from quarantine. And now you have this pregame 25 days. I'm like, what happened to all my muscles? I'm like, everyone's muscles just went away. And then you look at Jonathan, I'm like, oh, okay, I guess it was just fat.
Well, I'm going to be so happy right now that Voce, I thought Voce was going to say, and then I saw Tiffany and I felt so much better.
Tiffany, Brittany, you're gorgeous.
Oh, gorgeous. Yes. Gorgeous. I was less than gorgeous on that. Now, one, but it's fine.
Yeah,
oh now, my God, speaking did you of- see me? It is not my, you know, it's one of those things where you're like, I'm going on national TV to look like shit.
Like,
it's
just like, total okay, shit.
You know, like I've messed up eyeballs.
Oh God.
Gross. Yeah. I mean, it's just like,
it was, yeah. It was, mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a shocker. Oh, it's yeah, an it's an eye opener. It's like the opposite of what the Instagram filters do.
She couldn't open her eyes.
I couldn't. That's yeah. True.
We yeah. Suffered from that. Me and Voce had an eye infection, both of us. So
yes. So you just kind of you say to yourself, "Well, self,
the hell with it.
This is my big premiere, like my yeah. National premiere." Yeah. So I'm sorry, David Bloomberg. We have gotten far off track.
Well, we haven't even gotten to the rules, but I did want we were talking about Jonathan, and we did talk about this a little bit. Jessica had brought up in our preview podcast that he wanted to hide his strength going mm-hmm. into the game. He said
did a hell
that.
Of a job.
And we talked about how ridiculous it was, especially with his affinity for going shirtless. Yeah. But there he was in the first immunity challenge, leading his tribe, rowing, muscles rippling, carrying things like a Greek god. I'm like,
mm-hmm. And listen, I wasn't complaining watching it. I was
me neither.
But I did a TikTok about this, and one person commented and said, "But what if he is downplaying his strength?"
Ooh. Then he would have picked up the whole boat and been like, "Forget it, you all stay in the boat. I got you."
But
you know, I'm imagining this now. Just carrying all in the boat.
But honestly, I think that for Jonathan, he has to like know his threat level and manage that threat level. I think it's sure. Foolish of him to say, "Oh, I'm gonna not show my strength." But I think that's something that you just have to accept. That,
I mean,
you know, yes, I'm going to have the strength, but downplay other shit that's involved there.
I think he did.
He's clearly,
he did.
Only,
he's clearly
only
downplaying his intelligence.
I was right on board with you. I was just going to say, he's downplaying his mathematical skills.
Yes, yes.
But it really is fascinating that they did, and I know we're going to probably talk about this when we finally get to the individual of the hour who was sent home, but that the distribution of strength across the tribes didn't really seem that fair.
No.
Yeah.
No, because there is no strength of 41. But in 42, you know, I think it's the blue tribe that had Romeo and Zap,
right,
who collected way less than
me,
than Jonathan.
Like, what are we doing? Like, this tribe, and I will go back to, like, high, like compared to, you know, what we're, I just, to me, I just feel like,
It's not equal.
Something was off there. There was some, whoever decided this is how we're going to carve everything up. I don't think they were.
I don't know. Their strength looks, honestly, this is not the season for strength. I think Lindsay looks strong for the girls. Lindsay's ripped. Drea, I know she does, you know, she's physically fit. And then you have Jonathan and maybe and Mike and Roxbury, I guess. But he reminds me of Abraham a little bit. So like, you know, strong, but then like kind of, you know, you're not eating and you realize that they struggled. They struggled. Yeah. I mean, that's all there is to it.
About it, the Skinny Guy Alliance. I mean, they were clearly very aware of the fact that the two smallest men were on one particular tribe, and not to say that you aren't going to kill it in challenges. I mean, David Wright ended up winning individual immunity in one of our challenges, so anybody can win. But when you're talking about that first challenge, which I will say somebody pointed out, it was designed for six people.
Exactly.
Right.
Yeah,
that's so what I thought.
That's something to consider too. But my gosh, that was a whole lot of brute strength that you had to bring to that challenge. And when you don't have that many strong, robust people playing, and then when the division seemed a little bit off, I don't know, it was a little hard to watch.
That's what I said today to Voce. I said watching them, that was a brutal challenge.
Mm-hmm.
Like I could see them. I remember when in 41 when we were like 1, 2, 3 pushing that thing boat up you know the wall, and we didn't move. It didn't move. And we had a pretty good strong, we know we had Voce and Abraham and Xander at least, and it was like not moving.
Yeah,
and them just that looked dragging that boat through the sand.
Yeah, that looked
brutal.
Awful. That looked awful.
Brutal.
Unless you were Jonathan, then you just, you know.
Then you just pick everybody up in the boat.
Take your pinky and you're like, I got it. I got you. Yeah.
Now, going back to Jackson, which is where we started this long path, he also mentioned in his interview with Mike Bloom that the tribe was talking about targeting Marianne as a threat because she was too nice and because she went to Shipwheel Island. Now, I'm hoping that was just what they were telling him as a cover story, because they'd better not even consider voting out possibly the most upbeat person ever to play Survivor.
Ever.
There will be a riot in the street.
Yeah.
It's amazing to watch how infectious it is. Like when you watch her, you just smile.
You can't help
it. You have to. Yeah. She is the sweetest. I love, love, love her. And she's so just fun. Yes.
She's so fun.
I have this on my phone. Just
I mean, look at that.
My gosh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That is that is just, it's just your joy. Ball of energy. She's she's as happy when she's happy. She is unbelievably happy when she's sad. She is all out sad.
Yeah.
And she just, there's like no middle ground there. It's
she's going to struggle with that whole emotional.
I think that's was the point of them showing her hysterical crying.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's you know? Good point.
It might be a little bit of a foreshadow to how her emotions are so one way or the other way. She is just full on emotion. If she loves, she loves strong. If she cries, she cries strong.
Well, she's infectious. So
she sure is. Yeah. She sure is.
You know who else is infectious? Is Mike. When Mike was like, there's no way in hell I'm doing that water challenge, because that would be stupid.
That was so smart.
Yeah,
it was right. I was like, so smart. I thank you, Mike. No, but in all seriousness, you saw his like strategy and his thinking in that moment.
Oh, yeah.
Like, there's no way in hell I'm going to be the guy that would be chosen to do that.
Yeah.
And, you know, and the difference, obviously, 41 versus 42 is the one person.
That
was a no-brainer. And two guesses instead of two people and one guess.
Yeah, they and I like wanted the two guesses.
They wanted the tribes to do the triangle.
The two guesses. That was good to have the two guesses.
Yeah.
And I will say, too, since we're talking about Jenny, can we love Jenny anymore?
Yes, we love Jenny.
She just took over. She was like, okay, these people are not
hysterical. You go build the shelter.
Yeah, I got it. You back up.
Go
her delivery.
It was so good. Yeah.
It was so good.
Yeah.
She was like... okay, clearly we have an issue, but like in a non-threatening way, you know, you can see that it's not going to, she's not going to rub people the wrong way. Not in this episode.
Right.
Yeah. She's like, we're good. I'm a designer and I'm just going to, and she was like holding her eye on one side. I'm like, what is happening? And she's like, then you have 5x5. I was like, whoa, John's like 11, 12,
5 13. Yeah. I know you're a teacher.
That triangle?
No, 5
was
times
not
five.
Very hard. Is that what you said?
No.
No, don't worry about it, Tiffany. You already missed it.
Okay,
now moving
whatever.
On. Leaving Roche, you behind.
Roche, here's the thing. I would have been, if they would have told us that we had two guesses for that triangle, I think that would have changed everything. There was no way we would have ended up doing water challenge, because I think Voce, you were like pretty steady on like the triangles. Like this is, makes no sense for us to go on our own. And I think had we have two, you know, those two numbers, we would have been like, all right, we can do this.
Yeah, but I think
I don't remember.
Out. Yeah.
Did you get to look at the triangles before you decided? Okay.
No.
So you didn't even know what it was.
No.
Right.
Okay.
And I remember someone saying, is this even considered the triangle with it like covered? And I was like, we're in trouble. Like we haven't even seen it yet. And it's like,
interesting. Okay.
Yeah. The other interesting thing is that, you know, maybe this is Mike having knowledge being a firefighter, but I had no idea how many gallons, you know, one of those oil drums is, but we didn't even see really the oil drums. We had no idea. And how brutal actually.
Well, and he went over and picked up the pot. He's like, the pot by itself is heavy, even without the water.
Yeah. I would attribute that to him being a firefighter, knowing like a certain ratio of water and how much it would be from back, you know, going back and forth. He was like, okay, going back and forth alone is hard with the pot. And then it was like, no way I'm not doing it. So where we were like, oh, two drums, two people.
We were not saying that.
We were not. But like
Xander was.
No. Yes. Xander was. And what I will tell you is, because we only had that one chance with the number, knowing that you can finish something and get something that you need at the end versus mm-hmm. maybe getting nothing no matter what, you know, right. it was a no-brainer, I think, right. for us. But, you know,
Jonathan wanted to do it. Jonathan was like, I want to be the provider. I want to fill the gallons.
I'm going to take the whole gallon down and bring it back.
To Jonathan's credit, he didn't end up doing that.
He downplayed his strength.
He did. And then lifted an entire chest himself.
Yeah, and then downplayed his mathematical abilities. And then, yeah.
So, Jonathan, we love you. Don't take any of this to heart because you could be on my TV any day. It'll be fine. And I'll let you count all the time. It's okay.
We can podcast on him.
You can take your shirt off. I heard you don't like wearing shirts. So that's fine too.
Yeah. I like his sweatshirt. Did you see? It looked like a lace. It was like so 1980s. It looked like they put like laces. Okay. I was like, I love those.
Oh, wait. Their tribe. I've already talked about how terribly dressed that particular tribe is. And it really is like terribly dressed. The rest of them, not so bad. That tribe for whatever.
Oh, that hat.
Thank you, cheetah hat.
What is this?
The cheetah hat. Thank you, Tiffany.
You're welcome. Wait,
Is that what Mariah?
She's got a winter cheetah hat. Fedora cheetah. I don't even know what it is, but I'm like, why is she wearing that?
Why
on an island?
It gets cold at night.
No, well, the other thing is that it's really hard to get a hat approved.
Yeah,
I know, and this
but
is
that
really
one,
that's the hat.
It has to have a bee on it.
Oh God!
They were like, okay, because
was stressing that tribe was like, hee-hee, we're having some fun with these people.
Cheetah hat, check it.
This is happening. The cheetah hat is happening.
Cheetah hat, check. She must have been like, yes, I got my cheetah hat.
Oh my God.
I don't think so. That looks like one of those things where they're like, put on this cheetah hat. And she was probably like, what in the
frick? I know. Don't cover that beautiful hair.
Like, it's so pretty.
Oh my
so
God.
So pretty.
Cheetah hat. Weird 80s vibe sweatshirt. I'm with you. What the hell is that? Anyway, okay, Bloomberg. Yeah,
so you're mad about the cheetah hat.
Yeah.
We need to talk about the part of this episode that made me angrier than anything Survivor related since the hourglass.
What?
Okay.
Whoa. I think I know. Go.
Okay. And that was Survivor spoiling the outcome of this vote within the episode.
Yep.
They showed us the clip of what certainly appears
Tori,
to be
right?
Tori finding and reading the stupid potato beware advantage. And then as we're headed to the final commercial, we know it's either Zach or Tori. And I even tweeted, I said, well, we know if Tori doesn't find the advantage before we go to commercial, that Zach is going. And sure enough, that's exactly what happened. And they spoiled it. It pissed me off. Now, I know some people who are wrong have said, oh, well, we don't actually know if it's Tori, and it could just be a clip edited to make it look that way. Okay, maybe we don't see her lips moving, but why show it? Why fool viewers into thinking it's Tori in a way that will spoil the episode ending? It doesn't matter if we find out next week or whenever that it wasn't true. What mattered was they showed it in the beginning of this episode and led us to a correct conclusion.
Yeah, I agree.
One of my Twitter people that I talk to a lot, Michael Benson,
said, Twitter people.
Calling them followers is just weird.
They're your tweeps.
My tweeps. Michael Benson said, what's bad
Give it
about
to Xander. Sorry, spoiled, just kidding. Sorry.
That was all Xander, everyone. He came up with tweeps.
No, shut up, Jessica. That was mine. Shit, this is going to be Xander's.
What's bad about being spoiled is losing the feeling of suspense while watching. Even if you were tricked by a decoy edit, the suspense of the moment was still absent due to your false certainty. That was what he said. I'd add, if it had been edited that way and she went home, well, then great. We all have a good laugh. Ha ha, you fooled us.
Right.
But that's not what happened. You know, so many times the producers do these backflips and red herrings to try to create suspense when there isn't any.
Right.
Here was a case where there was suspense and they blew it.
Yeah. That was annoying. And I mean, I knew about the whole, like, her with the potato before. That clip actually
that was
came
before.
Out before. Yeah, it was even before.
That was a preview,
Yeah.
I made a point to not try to figure out who was doing something in the preview stuff. Mm-hmm. Okay, I made a point of that. And I'm sure a lot of people didn't see the preview stuff, but this was in the actual episode.
Right, but I'm just saying,
My wife saw it and noticed it.
It was twofold.
We're going to do this in the preview, and we're
right.
Like, so you were. I was actually listening for it. I was looking for it because we had heard it in the preview. I was like, "When are they?" Because I was like, "When are they going to show that? When are they going to show that?" And I was waiting for it.
The potato thing.
Yeah,
and that's. I actually tweeted, "I'm a potato."
Yeah, I saw that. I love your potato.
So I was expecting it too. I'm like, "This is totally." And then, wah, wah.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Boche, are you still with us?
Boche's drugs just kicked in. He's like drooling. For those of you who are just listening.
I mean, you guys are just saying such wonderful things. I have nothing to add.
Yeah, there we go. See?
Mm. Boche, I think he's being a little smart with us.
He's drugged.
No, he would not be sarcastic like Tori was.
No.
Bible counselor. Yeah.
Wow. Never.
Now, another topic I feel we have, even though I've got like four more topics before I even get to the rules. So
we're going to be here all night later.
I know. The mud and blood in the first.
What was that?
I don't know. I was almost.
Wait.
I missed it. What did you say?
Let me take it.
Tiffany threw me off.
What did I do?
No. Wait. Let's talk about this whole amulet thing. This drives me insane.
Oh, okay. The amulet. All right.
And that whole like little thing. First of all,
the amulet, which is a key, just like the shot in the dark die isn't used as a die.
No, nope. Yeah.
Just like the hourglass isn't flipped over but smashed.
Just like the key
does not
open unlock, anything.
It whole hangs around your neck. Yeah.
So the first thing to that amulet thing is, let's just say the paddles were just out for everyone to grab. They weren't hidden with like colors like they were in 41.
Right.
Just saying that. But
there is something hidden that I'll get to later, by the way. There was something hidden. I'll get to it later.
Interesting.
But I thought it was great that they, you know, had to interact with each other and, you know, you saw High kind of take the charge and being like, yes, you know, I want to start, you know, have cross tribe, you know, alliances. That's awesome to have that. But then you go into this whole convoluted amulet thing, which being a super fan, me and Tiffany were talking about this. Do they each have an extra vote when there's three of them? Or is it just one when it comes together?
Yeah.
It's, you know, do they each have a steal a vote? You know, when there's two of them, all that to say, we're super fans and we still have questions.
No, it's too much reading.
Again, in episode one, a casual viewer, like my mother, is going to have no idea what's going on. This is so confusing right out of the gate. Like episode, I'm already like, wait, how does this actually work? And when you're putting that in, it's like, did they ask right then how that works? Or I guess they didn't read it until after, you know.
They asked production, like, how does this work? Because
but it's just,
it's weird that they didn't tell the viewer.
Kind of crazy.
And the viewer not knowing, right?
So there's that part of it, of the amulet. But then there's also what you were just saying about the fake blood. It's like, I'm just so confused in terms of why that was even put in there.
Well, I think it was put in there almost as a trap.
I did too.
And High fell for it. High put it all over. And Lydia's like, "You're covered in blood.
You're filthy."
And then nothing comes of it.
Yeah. Like, Are you okay?
One person on Twitter pointed out to me, well, he could say it was a nosebleed. Okay.
Okay. Yeah. All over your chest, and then it's still there on your run back. You wouldn't be like,
"Where else is it going to go?" A rag to wipe it off.
But wouldn't your nose still stop bleeding on your run back?
That's why he was gone so long. He was holding.
I mean, right. And you never find out.
I'll just chime in and say, I think that's just, sure, it could create a trap. I think that's just going too far.
Yeah,
I agree.
Like to create something. Like, yes. I think what you guys have talked about, and I think what we've talked about, is what makes Survivor awesome is the human relationships, right?
Yes.
And sure, you can tweak these and force people into a high pressure situation. But like, this is episode one. Like, let's see these people interact together.
Yeah. You don't need these forced. Do something.
Yeah.
And I will say with our first episode, when we like, they just were like, run up the hill and go grab as many things as you can. But there were decisions that had to be made, but it was decisions that required people to be involved and like, it was a much different setting because you weren't competing, but you were also like all there and in one place, and it has a different vibe. I do think when you're adding things to it on day one, it is almost like production is getting too involved in that human element that you're talking about. Like, let them just figure this out. Let's see what they do, as opposed to giving them some thing that doesn't even make sense. And then, you know, as opposed to just like, hey, you figure out what you're going to tell them.
And then not explain, like, they never told us what they told their tribe.
I know. Well, this is one of the two things that they did. And we'll get to the other one later also.
Which was so weird.
But like, yeah, a lot of stuff was left out.
Like, isn't that what you would want to see, what they said?
Especially since they showed us Lydia saying, you have a lot of blood on you. So
you're filthy. Why are they filthy?
Yeah. The next question is, what did you do? We want to hear the story they made. Yeah.
So Zach actually addressed this in one of his post game interviews. And he said they had no idea. Like that just never came up.
That's so bizarre.
Said
me
too.
High had blood on him. High was the only one with blood. That at least should have come up.
Here's the thing. If you actually think about this, those challenges, you've got so much adrenaline pumping through you in that first meeting.
Then
as soon as that first challenge is over, you go into lockdown where you can't talk, you can't do anything. You know, they show them paddling out. That's not what really happens. You paddle out for the shot, and then they put you on the blackout boat, and they take you to your individual islands. They make you wait, ready to do the come-in shots. And that's probably, Tiffany, I would say that was a good 2 hours after the challenge, maybe 2.5 hours.
Yeah.
And then they go, and then they have that crazy bucket versus triangle challenge.
Yeah.
My point is that there's so much time between that first challenge, and then you're going bucket challenge on the first day, triangles, and then build shelter. I actually see how that just gets completely forgotten about.
Why are you so dirty?
And don't you think that bonds you to be like, oh, that's so funny. Like, you guys were so long. Like, it took you so long to come back. Like, how is that not a conversation they had, though, Voce?
Because we did. Spent so much time focusing on it. Like, they're taking so long. And oh, my God. And
then nothing. I think that's weird.
Why put that element into the story if it then...
Maybe because I think they thought they would talk about it. And then they never probably did, which is odd.
Yeah, but then don't show it in the edit. I mean,
you had to. It was part of getting, part of their shtick.
Yeah.
It just didn't work. I think it just didn't work. And I think the blood
dog is wandering around a little bit.
She's senile, you guys. So I just gave her weed. So hold on. Oh, she's licking her butt. she's so proper.
Like mother, like daughter.
Yeah. You think Tiffany's pretty flexible.
You know, Voce, you told me you like that about me. Mic drop.
It's why I'm moving in New York.
Yes, that's right. Fellows, boys and girls, welcome to Bloomberg. Why Blank Lost?
X-rated version, ladies and gentlemen.
Yes.
This is not for the less than 28-year-old, please. Do not listen to this.
I'm sorry to all of the fans out there with their children.
I know. Yeah, that's Voce's fault because I wasn't going to say a word, but he had to jump on it because he's so inappropriate. I don't even know.
All right.
11, 12. It's so fun. I'm sorry. I'll stop. Maybe 3 more times. Give me a limit and I'll stop.
I love that Voce. You know what Voce reminds me of? And I will just say this. He's like the annoyed husband.
Oh my God. Like,
this is a loud one. And he's just like, he's
got. Oh, there she goes again.
Literally, though, this was every night in our shelter. This is what it was like. It was like, okay, we're going to bed now.
And then Tiffany's like, I've got some talking to do.
Well, we did hear from multiple people, like, as they came out, like, oh, yeah, I stayed up all night with Tiffany laughing, and, you know, and it's like, my God, she never slept.
Zach, I'm so sorry. We are going to talk about you.
Zach, if you're here, stay tuned. We're going to get to you. We promise.
Before we talk about Zach, are we going to talk about Advantage Island?
Oh, God, that again? Do we need to?
I didn't really have anything to say about
it. Nothing.
It's insane that it's the same thing.
They're walking up that path.
And this goes back to what you already said, Voce, just about, like, let's stop with all the gimmicks and just let people be. Let them play. And the best parts of that episode, I will say, were those moments when you were learning about people, interacting with each other on the island, talking, communicating, strategizing. Like, those are the moments where you really hone in and pay attention. When they start walking up that big old track, I'm like, oh, whatever. This is like, they're doing this now. And we lost like that. Just like that.
And they just get up and leave right in the middle. And, you know,
like, we don't this need is to watch why, that. This is why I voted him out, boys and girls. You see how he gets up in the middle of a conversation? Okay. Who does that?
Who Boche, does that? Apparently.
He's like, he's a doctor. He may be on call.
We should all leave.
We should all leave.
We should all be gone.
No, everybody hide.
No.
Well, it's good.
That is not good podcasting.
Oh, this is bad. I love that I did it and Jessica followed. Yeah, she was like, okay, hold on.
Because I love you, Tiffany. Oh, this is a great idea. We're going to hide.
Yeah, you guys are crazy.
Oh, he still can hear us.
Yeah, I still have my microphone.
Okay, what the hell is that all about?
That's my favorite podcast moment.
I put it in the notes you said to type if I had to do something. I said I had to go grab my battery.
Oh my God, you're not supposed to tell the folks that.
Oh.
But like David and Jessica set that up for us to do something just like this.
11.
And bring us attention to it.
Well.
What the hell? This was your guys' thing.
Your guys' good English. Your guys's.
I don't actually see it. I just said it was there. That was for us to send messages. That was for us to send messages to you.
Right. Okay. So we're not allowed to use it.
Yeah. Sorry. Now I will. Okay.
One thing about sacred podcast.
Yes. One thing about.
I know. Everything has been ruined.
This is never happening again.
One thing about the Shipwheel Island that I had mentioned we would get to is. That there, although we didn't hear any of the stories last season, we heard all the stories of people who came back. This time we heard no stories. And Zach mentioned in interviews that Drea had the most terrible lie. Why did we not get to see this? We climbed up a mountain. There was nothing at the top. We climbed back down again.
Right. Yeah.
That's the dumbest damn story ever.
Ever. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's not fun. And I think that's why.
I will say, have nothing if she had tried to say that it was just a summit, that would have been better. Because, like, if you remember, like, Jacob Darwin or whatever from Ghost Island and, like, how bad he was at coming up with things, I actually think that, like, it could have been good if she just said, like, it was a climbed a mountain, had a summit at the top.
And it was just to meet other players and whatever.
I would be interested to know, like, what she meant by that or if it really was that horrible.
What sticks with me is Marianne had no shoes on the entire way up because I would listen. I don't like wearing shoes. They did know this about me on the island. I rather not wear shoes, but I will tell you there were these little spiky things all over the island. I don't know how she climbed up that with no shoes the entire time. Unbelievable.
Did she not have them with her?
I don't know. She said no. They addressed it. She
just
said
into the boat.
No, she said
she left them in the boat. Okay.
She said she does hard things, and that was her explanation.
Okay.
It's crazy. Craziness. So,
All right. I hesitate to ask this, but does anyone have anything else you want to discuss before we get to the rules 50 minutes in?
You know, you say that it's like a bad thing, but I think it's great.
I'll say one thing. Stop. Both of you. Control it. No, just overall.
I am hanging out with you, Tiffany.
We're so fun.
Oh my God, David. I'm hanging out with you, David. Just someone
that's going to be
orderly,
so fun.
Logical.
Yes.
Okay, David, take a poll. Bloomberg, take a poll and put it on Twitter. Who would you rather hang out, me, Jessica, or you, or the Davids?
I think this is a fun-ass poll. But no.
I think the poll is going to be like, Tiffany, Jessica, winner.
Yeah, I think so. Mm-hmm.
Just saying. Okay, I'm going to be quiet because eventually I will eat dinner tonight.
And I'm going to pour myself another glass of wine.
I just get funnier as she drinks more.
All right,
I get more funny.
No, but now that they've had their show, I was just saying, in general, this cast seems super normal, which is kind of refreshing.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's like... it's just really refreshing to see normal people's lives. And I mean, there's a lot of tragic stories throughout it and everything, but still, I think that there's a lot of relatability you already saw in this first episode. Now, I saw several people say this is like reminiscent of a David versus Goliath cast, where it's just very people that you can actually root for. You know, like we were saying about Marianne, who are infectious, mm-hmm. Mike, who just seemed very, you know, a hard worker, you know, firefighter, yeah. very logical. You know, you have these characters that are really well developed after one episode. And so I think that's like yeah. really cool to see a Survivor doing this kind of awesome job, despite all the advantages and everything.
I do feel really like your season, I was blown away by just the educational component that everyone yeah. was bringing to the game. It just seemed like so many people had like,
you, Tiffany.
Here it comes.
No, I really
hold on. 11.
12, 14.
I do remember that being a takeaway from 41, where I was yeah, like, oh my people. Gosh, there's so many, like, just the educational level at which so many people were at seemed much more elevated than usual. And so I do feel like this is more of a relatable cast yeah. where there oh, this are
is
more
why,
people.
Is this why Tiffany was supposed to be on this cast?
Look.
Boom, boom.
Voce woke up. Oh,
and
you're alive, Voce.
Like, I'm getting in on this.
He was like, oh, here I am. I'm here. I'm alive. I'm here. Voce's here. Jerk. Listen, you know, it's fine, you guys is. But whatever, Voce, you guys is. I'm a surgeon, you guys is. So what I was going to say. Right.
Oh.
I do have one thing to say.
One thing?
Yes. To point out another thing. Is when Roxroy tells Swathi her shoes smell, that she should clean them. Yes. Did you see that?
Yes.
He was like, you need to wash those things you call shoes. I was like, wow, they don't do that often. Because, I mean, yeah. we do say stuff like that on the island. Like, oh, dude. Yeah. Like, but, like, the point, why did they show that? I found that interesting.
I
will say that tribe reminded me a lot of Yas.
A little bit.
Because, you know, that was very much, and it's funny how the dynamics changed so much. Mm. Because, you know, that was very much kind of Abraham.
It was.
The fatherly figure sitting down and telling that. It's just interesting to see how different the personalities meshed together.
Yeah. It was interesting to me why they added that in. Like, it was just weird. It was like, interesting. Mm-hmm.
Maybe they were trying to legitimize more the idea that Drea presented.
That they're friendly, yeah.
Yeah, voting him out. That he was telling too many people what to do. I don't know.
Well, maybe. Or maybe like his delivery.
Yeah.
That could be it too.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
Moving on.
Before we actually move on to see how Zach did, we do need to mention that the rules we will get to cover, I promise, come in a shorter, especially than this prelude, and much more colorful version in poster form.
Right here. Oh, I wish I had one.
You want me to send you one? I'll send you one.
Okay.
I am the shipping department. Done. Send me your address. Got it.
Will do.
And so
Voce has
get them,
one.
Yeah.
I know.
So
Voce has a lot.
Go to
whatever.
Go to robhaswebsite.com/yxlostfeed and scroll down to, there we go, scroll. Oh, look, the poster.
There it is.
And click on it. In addition to the poster, we have other ways you can get the rules to always have them with you. T-shirt. There's the poster t-shirt. Mm-hmm. There's the checklist t-shirt, which is also being worn by Jessica.
I'm rocking the red one today.
The red one. As always, rocking the green checklist mug. And so there's all these different ways you can get it. Again, the robhaswebsite.com/yxlostfeed has links to everything. So just go there and it will meet your every Y blank lost need.
I love that.
May or may not help you on the island.
Fair. Right.
Love you.
Wait a minute. Hold on. That was a point for me.
It's sort of, yeah. So
11.
All right, moving on. Zach has shown an incredible attitude in the days since we saw him voted out, and that makes me like him even more than I already did. But he couldn't turn that charm into a way to stick around on Survivor. Was it really the puzzle that caused everyone to turn on him, or was that just an excuse? If it wasn't, Why did all of his apparent allies vote him out instead of finding a way to keep him around? That's the real puzzle here. But it's time to solve it and figure out why Zach lost. So we start with the first rule. Rule one, Tiffany. The first and most important rule talks about the need to scheme and plot. Zach obviously knew that coming in, especially being an RHAP fan and patron. He even became part of what appeared to be a pretty tight three of the younger players on ICA. We had called it ICA, but it is apparently ICA.
Which makes sense with Ikabula.
Okay.
If you remember. Well, Ikabula was the green tribe from my season also. And I was like, oh, it's spelled the same. And that was Ikabula. Not Ikabula. You're right. No, yeah. Okay. Anyway.
He had the explanation that we saw of how difficult it is to bring up an alliance when he was doing so with fellow ripped guy Romeo. I have to ask, have any of you had that problem in trying to bring up an alliance and worrying about how it would be received? Is that why Tiffany and Voce, you weren't on the same page because you were friends, but you didn't want to, you worried about bringing it to the next level of an alliance?
Well, it's weird because, you know, we went to the bathroom together. So you would think that would be a lot. We would think that's the alliance.
That's the highest level.
It was a really, it was a shitty alliance. Come on, Voce, laugh out loud. That was funny.
Look at his face. He's like, what did I ever do to deserve her?
Yeah.
Bloomberg, now you see why that alliance never worked.
Yeah.
He doesn't know how he lived without me. The truth is that, I don't know that that's why he lost. I don't know because alliances happen.
We don't determine that till the very end. Don't try to.
So, do I think that was part of it? No, I'm going to say no on that one. Voce, what do you say
about the young person alliance?
No, that he was making. Yeah, what do you think? You think that contributed or not?
I'm confused on the question.
I don't know either. So, but anyway, after the discussion, Zach felt like he was tight with Romeo.
Yeah.
And I do think that Romeo considered him an ally, and we did see Romeo fight somewhat to keep Zach.
Yeah.
But Romeo had another alliance, and it turned out to be tighter with Roxroy and Drea.
Yeah. I will say this, as far as that whole concern that you had mentioned about his, like, can we bring this to the next level?
Mm-hmm.
I do think that there are times when you have to let alliances just happen, that you can't force an alliance, just like you can't force a friendship. There are going to be people that you connect with, and there are going to be people that you don't connect with. Mm-hmm. And even though you might not connect with them, you don't necessarily want to force yourself upon them to become an alliance. And so I almost feel like Zach was too excited with the like prospect and idea that like, I need to be in an alliance and I'm going to be in an alliance. But it's like, how do you approach someone? Sometimes it's just very natural and it just kind of happens. Mm-hmm. And it's a feeling that you both get from each other. And so if you're out on the island and you feel that, go with it.
Yeah.
I was going to say, he had a confessional where he said, like, this is so weird making an alliance, it. And obviously I'm not someone to talk about expertise, but I would say actually the alliances that we had made sense. Yeah. Like, you would talk about normal life and make those connections, you know, we would shit together. We would do normal life things. And then that's how those conversations come in and be like, hey, I got you.
Right.
You
know me.
And it is, you know, it's interesting because sometimes it's faster than other times. Like I know because it can just be based on a moment, on a feeling, on something that you just see in someone. Other times it takes time to develop. And I feel like if you go into this game feeling like I have to have an alliance and you force it, the other person is going to see that and it's not going to feel natural and it's not going to feel comfortable. And that connection that you need to actually have an alliance isn't going to be there.
Well, and that goes back to
what he said.
One of the rules about, you know, like find those common threads, whether it's from the same area, same town, you know, you drive the same type of car,
same body build. We're both, I would say that even though he did make that alliance, I would say he was not comfortable in the alliance that he made because he felt awkward.
I think Romeo was perfectly fine. It's just he had a stronger alliance.
Right.
You know, I think he wanted to keep Zach.
Yeah, but I feel like it was more natural for Romeo because he had more things in common with the other people that he had formed an alliance with. And it's when you go out on the island, you're not stuck with one alliance. You can form alliances with multiple people. And wherever you end up landing then determines. I mean, we've heard this term a lot, that the the line is drawn in the sand, right? Once you get to tribal council. And that's where everybody then kind of knows, okay, this is where you've ended up. And so I do think that people need to be very mindful of that when they're going out there to play this game, that you have plenty of options, although you're stuck with six people. I don't like that.
I think Zach felt like he had that. He had Swathi, he had Tori, and then he had Romeo. And he thought he was going to be able to pull Romeo over and go against Drea. But the problem was Drea was with Romeo and Drea was with Roxroy. And so, and then, you know, as soon as they got back from the challenge, Tori pulls Drea off to the side. And that's, I think, when Zach went.
I think this actually segues into rule two about not scheming and plotting too much, if we can go there. Since Jessica always asks you for permission.
Thank you. I do have to ask permission, don't I, Voce?
I know. It's like, just do it. Just take charge.
Yeah. Hey, like, I get yelled at,
really?
Voce.
No, but you know that scene where he pulls, Zach goes and pulls Tori aside and says, hey, listen, you know, they think that you have the idol and things.
Yes.
I think that that's a very good example of, like, especially in a six-person tribe where if you're very, very close to Tori and you know you have that super strong alliance, then maybe you can do something like that. But you better be pretty sure that that's your number one ride or die.
For sure.
And I think he thought that it was, or he thought he was close enough. But the funny thing is, if you look at the scene, he was the one who brought up, because Drea comes out and goes, where is she? Yeah.
And he's the one who said it.
Yeah, someone said tarot hunting. He's like, I don't even know what tarot is, but you know, this is Survivor. There's really only one thing to be doing.
Yeah. Right.
And then he runs and tells Tori. Yeah, I mean, it's
almost like there was too many super duper fan things going through his head.
Right.
Where it was like, I need to play this game in all of these ways that I've seen, but they're conflicting. And so you need to really decide before you go out there how you're going to play this game, even if you are a super duper fan. One of the things he talked about in his exit press was how Tori was able to hide the fact that she was such a super fan. The super duper fan is too much to say, but she hid that. He didn't. And so I do think that she was aware of that and made decisions and had conversations in a manner which deflected that a little bit. He didn't. And I think that can be something that people don't really appreciate when you're playing Survivor, if you know that person to be a super duper fan.
Yeah,
I think another point to making that is that in a tribe that's so small, you have to have relationships with everyone.
Yeah.
You know, when we knew that Abraham was the go-to person, it was like I was almost even closer to Abraham in a very careful way that people didn't expect that, you know, that something else was going on. But it's like you want to keep those people close so that you know where everyone is going to land.
Exactly.
And you know, I would be interested to know what was Zach's relationship to Roxroy. Like, did they actually have any type of relationship?
Because
dangerous.
According to him, it wasn't Roxroy that was the problem. It was Drea. And this was where he said he took Taryn's big brother advice, and it doesn't apply in Survivor, and which is to have a target so people know where you stand. His target was Drea. And since that was his target, he didn't want to talk to her a bunch. So he didn't.
Yeah.
And, but the thing is, what's interesting is I actually added to the rules for this season to make it clear in rule two that you don't choose a side so staunchly that you're pushing for a particular person to draw unwanted attention. And I used as an example, Natalie from Winners at War and Abraham from your season, because both of them did that. Both of them went out right away. Now, we know from talking to you before that that wasn't Abraham's only problem, but it was a big problem.
It was definitely. I think it definitely was bigger than it
seemed. So it is interesting that the first person, Zach, says, this was a mistake I made the same time that I had put this in there to be like, don't do this much of it, you know?
Right.
And so, he was focused on Drea. And because he was focused on her, he felt closer to Tori. He told Tori about Drea targeting her because I think he wanted to make sure every focus was still on Drea. Now, I still think, like you said, David, you're right. You know, that You had better.
I was like, who is it you he's talking about?
For the love of God. I thought it was me. I perked up for a second. I was like, yeah. I am?
Yeah, I know.
Oh, you're no, like not 11. Yeah. I'm still counting triangles.
You had better be absolutely certain of how close you were. Now, maybe Tori did a great job of making him feel that way. I don't know. We didn't see enough. But still, yeah. The goal is to make sure someone is in trouble besides you. And if they're already talking about voting her out first because of the idol thing,
then stop. Okay. Back off. Right.
Just sit back and let it happen.
Watch and let it happen.
Yeah.
The other thing
was that rule two? Did we just do rule two as well?
That was rule two. He said we were moving to rule two.
Listen, I needed to double check.
She's unaware. Poor thing. Oh, I feel you. I'm unaware all the time, Jessica.
The one, and not to go back to rule one, but this is kind of rule one and two. The one part that I will say that I think, and you know, the post interviews are always, you know, jaded by the distance and time.
Perfect. 100%.
Exactly. But, you know, Zach said, you know, when he was at tribal council, you know, he could have gone nuclear. He could have come up with something. Because Zach knew that it was him or Tori at that point.
Yeah.
And I guess my question at that point is, you know, why do you have a regret of, or maybe it wasn't a regret, but why are you saying this now that you could have done this? If you knew it was you or Tori, unless you think that there's a big enough chance that it's not you and you don't want to blow up. Mm-hmm. But him playing his shot in the dark to me says he knew that it was him and Tori didn't play hers. So then
this isn't rule one. You're jumping to rule seven.
Oh my God. Jessica. Way ahead in rules.
Am I?
Wait. Bojay just called Jessica.
Yeah, you are.
Rule seven.
Seven is about idols' advantages.
I'm going to support you on this.
So.
Because something else that Zach said was that he almost felt bad about ruining Tori's dream in order to maintain his own, which, listen,
you can't.
Survivor's
feel
hard, but but Survivor is hard, and there is an emotional component, which we are going to talk about that part of it. And there is, though, those are conversations you have to have with yourself because you really are like making a decision regarding your life, but someone else's life at the same time. And I think it's really easy to sit at home and be like, oh my God, why didn't you do this?
Yeah.
When you're actually in that moment and experiencing it, there's so much more happening. And so I think maybe there was some weight to that.
That's all.
Yeah.
Who's a sociopath?
No, oh God, shall I have so many.
As a player.
I know you don't know which way to point, Bojay. Yeah.
11. Just kidding.
The all right, we already have a hashtag. This will be hashtag 11.
Yeah, hashtag, and you know 11's my number. I even have it tattooed on me.
It's like it's meant to be.
I know. 11-11.
Ah.
All right.
It's my name. It's my number. Okay.
Okay. So we can move on to the third rule, which talks about being flexible. Jessica, how do you think Zach did with being flexible?
I'm sorry. I'm just laughing too much. I think he tried. This goes back to the super duper fan, right? Where it was like he was trying to do too many things at once. And I think that that can become overwhelming and too much. And when you start doing that in front of your tribe, that's what they see. And I don't think that that brings comfort to people either. It's a little all over the place. And people are curious, like, what are you going to do? And so though it wasn't like to an extreme, I do think that his flexibility almost was his hindrance because he was trying too many things. Like you've already mentioned, he told Tori, right? And said, she's out looking for idols. But then he told Tori that they're talking about you looking for idols. And so it was like, it's almost like this mix of things that he was trying to do that just ended up working out. And so I feel like it was too much, too quick. It's too early. So I think his flexibility was over the top. And not in a good way.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was thinking, you know, that I mean, we already discussed how he focused too hard on Drea and went out of his way to help Tori. Not doing either of those two things could have been helpful to him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, being a little more flexible and not doing those things.
No, being less flexible because you got to pick one.
Yeah.
Pick one.
No, not doing either of those things. Yes.
Well, right. Yeah. But it's weird because it's it's almost like he was trying to do too much, which yeah. I then think causes this question in people's minds. Well, where's he going to end up? Like, what are we doing?
Yeah.
If you have too many things happening.
That's why you need to add a rule that being a super, super duper fan sometimes works against you because you have so much going on and you're trying so hard to make sure you're checking off every box that sometimes you're overthinking it. And I think he overthought it.
It either is, or I think it's already in there in, I think it's in, I would have to. I would have to check because as Jessica said, there are 15,000 words in the.
There's so many.
But I believe it is in being rule six.
It's word 6,392. Yeah,
it used to be bigger when you had mostly Mactors on and then a couple of fans. It was like, right. You don't want to show yourself as a fan. And so I definitely watered it down to say, it's not as big a deal. But. Right. Now, instead of having like Mactors and fans,
right,
you have fans and super fans and super duper fans.
Yeah.
Right. Or me, the casual watcher.
I will say this too, that in my season, nobody knew Adam Klein was a super duper fan. Adam the way Klein. That he talked about himself. Right. Because he was able to control it. And it was the same thing with David Wright. David Wright's initial explanation to me as to why he was even on the show was because his niece was a big fan of the show and he wanted to make his niece proud. And so he tried this thing and I was like, that's weird. You know, I'd like just remember thinking, I'm like, why would you do that? Like,
you're that's like, a lot.
Yeah. Like, really? Like, you're going to go all that. But it deflects it a little bit, right? Where you're like, that's interesting. And it caused you to think, but he also didn't present himself as someone who was trying to do awesome, you know, on this island and know all of these things. And so I do think that there is a really great component to being a super fan or knowing a lot about the game, but you also have to know how to hide that part of yourself and not let it overtake you because then it happens, as like you said, Tiffany, it becomes too much and you try to check all the boxes. You can't do that. So you really have to maintain some type of semblance of I'm not a super duper fan, but in your mind, create the gameplay that you need, but don't let everybody see it.
Yeah. I mean, we might as well finish up discussing rule six. At
Bloomberg's
this point.
Like, something I'm so done with you. Shut
no,
up.
No, I mean, we might as well.
Like, yeah, that was a great one of six.
Yeah.
Now we're going to go to six.
Well, we might as well. Because yeah, that
we're jumping ahead.
Well, we already jumped ahead. I'm just catching up. So
these are his rules, ladies and gentlemen. I just follow them.
So do we not do four and five now? Is that
we
what
will?
Happened?
We
no,
will.
We're gonna go backwards. Don't worry, we're gonna go backwards.
Worry. Okay, I just want to make sure that we I know we got four and five.
This is David's world. We just live in it.
That's right.
Just making sure.
It does, obviously, as I mentioned, talk about being too much of a threat. Now, we might look at Zach, and with all due respect to him, not consider him to immediately be a huge threat. Mm-hmm. But then Rob reminded me when he was on the podcast of something when he brought up on Know It All, how Daniel called Zach, referred to another player who is a Ryan Ulrich type. That's obviously Zach. Mm-hmm. Now, I think he may have even mentioned him doing puzzles and stuff during quarantine, if I remember right. I couldn't find my notes on that. And I even said in our preview of the Ika tribe, I said, I do worry a bit about his plan to not appear strategic. People will look at him and I think automatically put him in the strategic camp because that's just what people do.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he gave off schemer vibes. We already talked about the super duper fan vibes. Mm-hmm. And I think people can perceive you as a threat if you look that way.
Oh, well, that's why Survivor has changed so much, right?
Right.
Because there is that archetype now that is the not someone who would normally be seen as I'm going to live on an island for 39 days or now 26 days, but I'd rather be sitting behind a computer kind of person that is now playing Survivor and has become a very big threat in this game. And so I do think that he needed to try to combat that as much as he could, but it becomes difficult when people just kind of look at you and make those assumptions, because we all know That's what happens when you see someone, you make assumptions about them.
I'm going to disagree with you guys a little bit on this.
Ooh, okay, I like this.
Hold on, I got the mute button. Oh, no.
I actually don't think that he was actually seen as too big of a threat. I think if anything, you know, his physicalness, you know, he admitted he was not a physical person. You know, he obviously screwed up that puzzle because, and I'm not saying he did screw it up, but he said he screwed up.
Yeah.
I was just going to say that.
So I honestly didn't think that he did anything wrong, but then he said that he screwed it up. So I'm going to say, therefore he screwed it up because he's telling them, I'm sorry, I screwed it up. So you have someone that's not physical that screwed it up. And then to me, and this is just in the edit, but it didn't seem like he was connecting with enough people, you know, the Rox, Roy, with Drea, with them.
Mm-hmm.
And so if anything, that first vote, you want it to be easy. And so it was easy to have Tori and Zach be there. And so if anything, I think it was more of he's kind of the easy one to go for.
Oh, and, for sure.
And not necessarily because he's a big threat physically, socially, you know, strategically. I think it was just because he felt he took the blame. Yeah.
He came right out and was like, it was my fault.
Right.
Like we'll too much.
We'll get to that. But you're right. I was just, you know, I mean, you know how this goes. We talk about each rule.
Yeah.
But I do think that I think that in the pregame, people were already looking at him and making judgments about him.
Yes. Yeah. And that's the perception is reality. And so you have to combat that when you get on the island.
Right.
Right. Mm-hmm. But I think I'll still stick to this. I think that instantly day one, day two, I don't think that they would have held that perception of him.
I don't think that you're wrong because here's I do think they walk into the game with that perception and then they see him and they're like, well, puzzles are supposed to be his thing. And then he screwed up on the puzzle. And so then we get to Tiffany's point where he screwed up on the puzzle. He admitted it. And then Voce, you want it to be easy, right? You want it to be easy. So here's someone who you perceived as, wow, this has got to be a super duper fan, which means he knows a lot about the game. He's going to be all over it. He's studied. He knows the puzzles, all of these things that you imagine about someone. Then you go out and you see him not do well in the puzzle. And you're like, well, this is going to be a lot easier than I thought because you can use that as an excuse. So not a threat, but I think coming into the game, probably perceived as one until they actually saw it in action.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree.
Okay. So we'll go back to the fourth rule. And Tiffany, don't worry, we're going back. And it tells players not to let their emotions control them. Now, Tiffany.
Yes.
Since you and Voce were added to the rule, this rule for this season.
Yes.
Of not letting your emotions control them.
She has no idea.
How do you think Zach did here?
I think that he let his emotions control him. I think his, you know, would you call yourself the feeling of him having screwed up the whole thing by being bad at the puzzle, right?
Mm.
His emotional reaction to that being, it was all my fault. Not even thinking ahead of like, hey, you guys were so far behind to begin with that like that you didn't have a shot.
Was Tiffany's excuse for the beam. You guys screwed it up.
Shut up. Anyway.
It all comes back to the beam, Tiffany.
We're not talking about the damn beam. We're talking about the fact that, Well, anyway, you and the puzzle, like, you guys were not that far behind the puzzle, but whatever. So, in my eyes, he oversold his failure.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, if someone's doing that for the first vote, you're like, done, finished. He's taking it. He's okay with it. He's like, all right, I had my experience. I'm good. I'll take this one. And it's like, if he was trying to do that to be like, for them to be like, no, it wasn't you. It didn't work because who the heck is going to say, yeah, no, it wasn't you. No, it was us. Like, no, you're going to let that person take that. And he did too much of that. It was almost like too much of it's my fault. And you know, you don't do that with a 6-person tribe. You don't give the five other people a reason.
Right onto that too. She was "Oh yes, it was his fault."
Well, yeah, course, right. Okay, somebody's going to jump on it.
I was going to talk about this later, but it was actually, according to him, it was Swati's fault.
Right, but she was the one who owned up to it first, and she immediately was like,
"Yes, he was not so good on the puzzle." Right?
Yeah, because what he said was, "It's a 2-sided puzzle," and she was only working one side really, and she took his pieces. and put them on the wrong side. So he had nothing to work with.
Right.
And this is where the hidden part comes in, because he said in one of his interviews, he said, I don't get why we had two yellow dragons while all the other ones got a purple dragon and a white dragon and a red dragon and a white dragon. So I think the two yellow dragon thing, which makes it more confusing and difficult, must have been put together by the same people who hid the oars on.
And it must have been by the same person who divided up the tribes.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
We're going to this Ica tribe is going to be in a lot of trouble right off the bat.
Yeah. But
yeah, I think so I definitely agree about that. Just the way he kind of let his emotions take over him there. But I also think that it was an emotional response when he said he didn't want to go nuclear and tribal council like we already.
Yeah.
He said, it was almost like a defeat at that point.
Yeah. Like he gave up. He gave up.
He did. And that's when he said the thing about not wanting to hurt her feelings because this is her life too.
Yeah. But do you say that because I don't know. Sometimes when people say things like that, you think it's so that it's like it softens the blow of your own.
Honorable.
Yeah.
Monday morning quarterbacking.
Yeah. Listen, I'm not saying it's not how he felt, but
no.
You know, just that little bit of that self-fulfilling prophecy of, you know, he said it was his fault and he ended up being out and you kind of did that. Like, you know, you never own it. You don't own it. I don't care what you look at. Tori went the complete opposite. She's like, no, I wasn't looking for it. And she actually believed herself telling us that she wasn't looking for it. Right. Yeah. Where he's like, no, it was my fault. Yeah, meanwhile, that puzzle, they had no shot. So the yellow on yellow, it's like,
he said they were 15 minutes behind.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's the
that's a lot of time.
That's a huge amount of time.
That's ridiculous amount of time. And I was not on the bean for 15 minutes, so Voce, don't even try it, okay? If it was 5 minutes, it was a lot, so don't even do it, because I will get those tapes.
That's because you were in the water the other 10 minutes.
I was drowning.
Falling off the beam.
God, I love it.
God, I hate it. Hate that damn beam. I hope somebody messes it up this season and good.
Have you been to SeaWorld recently, Bloomberg?
I hate you. Jerk.
We can move on to the fifth rule, Jessica. which is about
I got you, Tiffany.
Thanks, man. Whatever. 11.
It's about the social game and reminds players that they need to pretend to be nice. Now, Voce.
Voce is not pretending to be nice right now.
She was beautiful on the island.
Yeah, but that was like forever ago.
Now you just
have to be nice on the island.
Yeah, that's true. So since you're an expert, then how do you think Zach did here?
I think it's hard to tell how he did, but from all the information that we have, I think that he played that game. You know, I think he was very kind of neutral in terms of everything. And I kind of said this about 41. It's hard to not have a lot of divisiveness. And, you know, yeah, you had Roxroy and, you know, with the whole shoes incidents and things, but still the most conflict was Tori, I would say.
Yeah.
There. Mm-hmm. And so I felt like everyone kind of knew that they needed to play the nice game. And so I don't know. Do you guys agree with that? Like, I didn't see any.
I don't feel like we really got that much of him. Like,
yeah, I mean, I think he was nice.
I think he's a nice guy. Like,
I think
nice.
When we get to Roxroy, we may be discussing that.
Yes.
He talked about the only time they had fun there was during the half hour that Roxroy was off doing an interview.
Yeah.
You know, but
I think it was a weird combination too, though, where it's like he was nice, but he was also, and this goes back to what we talked about before, like he wanted to play the game. So it was like this conflict where, like, I'm going to be nice, but I want to play Survivor. Mm-hmm. So how do you do both? And I think he probably struggled with that. But, yeah, I mean, I think he just seems like a genuinely nice person. And I will say, we haven't even given him credit for his intro to the world with Jeff Probst. When Jeff was like, you know, he's like called on him and he's like, I'm here with $1 million. And he's like, and it's just like the whole interaction was amazing because he's like, well, maybe it was my delivery.
It was incredible.
Because Jeff totally called him out. He's like, well, what does that even mean?
He was like,
I don't know. Maybe it was my delivery. I don't know.
I actually thought that was so great. I was like, thank God.
Incredible.
Thank God.
Like, I loved that great. Moment.
Yeah, I
so
did too.
I think in that moment we saw a very genuine Zach, super duper fan, wanting to be like having his first, like, this is my moment with Jeff Probst. And I just blew it.
But also, also self-deprecating.
Yes.
And yeah. a little like, woe is me. I do everything uh-huh. wrong and bad. Yes. So I think maybe we have a little bit of that. Like he just takes too much onto himself.
Yeah, but here's the thing, though.
I mean, he said
that quality can be very lovable. Like people yeah. can see that. Like, and David, I will go back to David Wright. Like David Wright did that a lot, and yes, we were like, "Oh, but no, David, we love you." And so I feel like Zach was trying to do that too. Like in this moment, like I'm going to be funny, and everyone's going to love me because this is my self-deprecating moment. And then yeah. he'd be like, "No, no, it's okay, it's okay." Yeah.
Yeah, yeah but yeah. then you follow it up with, "I just lost the whole thing for
see,
us."
I wish Jeff. Jeff Probst would have asked you, Voce, what does it take to win? And you could have said, let me pull out the scientific paper that has the rules on the back
of it. That's
right.
David
Bloomberg. And then Probst would have been like that. Cut that all out. Cut that out.
But if ever we go back on the game, I'll be sure to say that.
Okay, good. Mm. Good.
David, you're right. If there's another David, I'd be like, David, you're right. I'd just get it in there.
Oh, my God.
Do you love it? So Bloomberg.
Here's your first boot.
Bloomberg, do you love David Wright?
Well, of course. Well, yes.
Just making sure.
Yeah.
11.
Sure. Oh my All right, God. We can move on to the 7th rule. There is no 11th rule.
There's not.
Thank
well, 11, rule 11 will be Tiffany's rule.
Rule, yeah. rule please, because yeah. I'm 11. 11 is my
We number. Won't even know what it is.
Rule number 11, if you yes. cannot count, don't even open your mouth.
Yeah.
Ever.
Wait, just throw this in there. Speaking of counting, I mean, Zach did throw out the 16%.
It was so...
He did, it was only,
okay, that's in this rule, because I wanted to ask you, he said 16%. Would you have corrected him about his rounding error?
I yes. would have, yeah.
Yeah, that was 13, the wrong yeah. number. Yes. I thought of you, Voce, in it that was. Moment.
And that's why they said it. That's why they played it. It was for yeah, Voce.
Just for Voce.
That was for Voce.
So in this rule, we talk about idols' advantages, including how to handle and deal with them, and navigating twists. So Zach didn't have any shot at any idols or advantages, but he sure. did, as we said, figure yeah. out he needed to use his shot in the dark. And, you know, as he explained in interviews, he was able to read the situation, like when Swati, who he felt was his closest ally, couldn't look him in the eyes. He was like, hell, I'm in trouble. And he figured it would either be a unanimous vote for him or for Tori. So he didn't have to worry about the vote split, which so many people were thinking about on your try, on your yeah. season. And so it made sense for him to use the shot and add that 16.7%. Now,
six.
It's 16.7, Tiffany.
Isn't it 16.666?
Which is seven.
Yeah, but it's which is
no.
Oh my goodness, ladies and gentlemen, this is the teacher of our kids.
11.
Another low blow.
Oh, it's been happening all day. It's been happening all day.
So, and you know, he's so suave about it. He's just like
so rude.
This is our teacher of our children.
Do you think he's suave? Really suave? He wouldn't have gotten voted off. He was so in your face about it. Well, Tiffany was like Free Willy out there, like a beached whale jerk.
I only said that to the cameras.
Yeah, and then when we got home, he was like, they're going to say it. They're going to say it. I'm like,
did
great.
You, you didn't say that about her.
Yes, he did. He called me a beached whale. Yes, he did. Mm-hmm. I hope you all hear that. Please air that.
Time out.
Do not cut.
I do not remember.
No, you didn't hear it. They cut it. They cut it. They cut it. They cut it. He said it.
I never saw that.
No,
you didn't see it.
Yeah. But you then told her you
said
that?
So there's no evidence.
Yes.
There's no evidence.
Wait a minute. Jessica gets better.
After Bloomberg,
this is going to be the best podcast right now.
Bloomberg, you got to cut this out.
No, no, we're not.
What happened?
So, okay. So when we get home from the island, Voce is like, listen, I have to tell you, I might have called you a beached whale out there and I feel really bad. Okay. Wait, this is the best part. I was like, all right, whatever. I called myself Free Willy, but they never put it up anyway. So I don't care because I really give a shit. But anyway, so he's like, I was like, that is real. I'm glad I voted you out, jerk. Anyway, so this is the really bad part. Are you ready?
Mm-hmm.
Once he saw the episode, he quote unquote felt so bad for me. So he calls me and he says, Tiff, I just want to say I'm so sorry that I called you a beached whale because you really did
You felt so bad.
Yeah, and he felt so bad because I actually did
Are
look like a beached whale.
Are you talking about on the beam? She looks like a beached whale.
Yes, Jessica.
She kind of like rolled off the beach into the water like
she
a dead
like
beach
a beautiful
whale.
Woman who was working incredibly hard to get across a beam. And you call her a beach whale?
Jessica, no. And the worst part is his apology was, I'm sorry, because
that
you
actually
look like
one.
A beach whale.
Okay.
And I said to him, I was on a chicken line getting fried chicken for my kids. And I said, I started hysterically laughing. I'm like, are you freaking, I used the F word. Poche, that is why you're voted off the island. What? Where in your brain is that okay?
Can I just ask you, like, what is your relationship status right now, Voce?
Single.
You might want to work on your
everything
approach when you are interacting with a woman.
Have you ever?
But now Tiffany is leaving her
you
husband.
You don't apologize to her and be like, I'm sorry because you actually look like a bitch.
Jessica, I had to explain.
Cut it off before you get that far.
I had to explain to him why that was wrong. I was like, Voce, you know why that... Then he starts laughing. He's like, wait a minute. That was bad, right?
I'm
like,
that's so bad.
You think?
I mean, it's fine that you were like, you know, I'm going to take the high road.
I feel so bad.
You know, like, listen, I feel bad. I said this about you, and I'm so sorry.
But I feel bad.
You didn't then call her and go, I was right about what I said because it looked like a beach whale. Like, you don't do that. Jesus,
so at that point, I was like, yeah, so I'm going to just go drown myself in some fried chicken right now because that was hardly an apology. In fact, that was worse than what you said.
That's like an I'm right about what I said.
He's
like,
brutal.
I'm so sorry. That's how you look, but that's how you look.
So now you're going to learn about Voce. His apologies are veiled.
I'm on this now. Yep. I'm on to you, Voce.
His apologies are veiled in more harmfulness.
I mean, you say, David, you were right.
Yeah.
No, I'm not gonna say that. She did not look like a beached whale.
Thanks, Jessica.
Oh,
jerk. It's a good thing I'm so cute right now.
Unbelievable.
No, you don't love me. You don't love me because if you loved me, you never would have said that. Jerk.
You would have just left alone. Like, I'm so sorry I said this.
Yeah. And it
instead
did.
Of like, wait, I no. said this, and guess what? I was right by yeah. saying
have
it.
Have you ever in your life?
Oh, my goodness.
And I still talk to him. That's the best.
Hey, I know. He is a bigger person in all of this.
I feel bad for Zach.
Bigger person, Jessica. Bigger.
Zach, we love you.
The focus of this podcast is Zach. It's not Free Willy.
They're going to cut this. We're going to cut this out. We're going to cut this out.
We don't edit. I don't know how to edit.
No, there's no editing.
Wait a minute. I thought it gets edited.
No.
No, it does not. This is it, Tiffany.
Oh, good Lord. The whole world knows.
Everything you said. Is out for the world to
yes.
see.
Right
in the fact is that Voce does not know how to speak to women.
That's
is
it.
This when we admit that we were having an affair now, Tiffany?
Yes, we were having an affair on the entire island. That's why I had to vote him off because I was like, Voce, this isn't going to be good. I need to get off the island with you. This is not okay. I didn't come here. This is not Love Island.
Yeah.
Okay? This is not Love Island. This is not Tiffany needs a third husband.
Third?
Yes, my husband is my second.
Ah, I see.
Okay. Voce would be my third.
I understand. Okay.
But three's a charm.
You've heard of sister wives, they're brother husbands.
Oh my God. Yeah,
totally. They are. They are. They are. It's okay. We're an open marriage. Anyway, move it on. We're not really. We're really not.
So much, Tiffany.
So much that I don't even know how he even puts up with me. Voce, right?
Bloomberg, do you see what the island was like? Like, how do you pretend to play nice when it's like this? It's like, please, Lord, help me.
You're the one who said we had an affair. Like, I didn't say it.
When you're on the island, it's like, what is worse? Hell. Just squeaking birds or squeaking Tiffany? I'm not sure. Neither of them will shut up.
I will say the birds were a lot out there.
There were
that's
a lot.
Really
I would rather
bar.
Take the birds.
That's
Listen,
a high bar.
Bloomberg?
Yes.
I just want you to know.
Yes.
That after this podcast, I will not be talking to Voce any further.
I don't believe you.
you need to believe me.
No, I don't think that's true. All right, we can move to Appendix A, which is about the tribe keeping their end goals in mind and not like their end goals of after they're on the island and still arguing on a podcast. But, we talk about voting out the weak, then the strong, then the weak, then the strong. Now, generally speaking, and without taking into account any other factors, at this point in the game, a tribe should be voting out weak players so they can win immunity challenges. But let's start.
Sorry. Oh, God, help me. You want me to get off the podcast? Because I will. Jessica's out of control.
I have no idea what to do.
I did nothing. I'm sitting here listening.
Jessica apparently took one of OJ's pills.
I'm reading the damn private chat. Don't do this to me, Tiffany. I'm on your side right now.
Forever.
Oh, my God. Really?
Now people are going to want to know what's in their private chat. Anyway. Like I said, you want to start voting out the weak.
Tweets. I'm sorry. Like in multi-levels. Okay. Yeah.
Sorry.
Oh, God.
Let's start by making something very clear to just reemphasize. We've already talked about it earlier. It was ridiculous for people to even bring up the puzzle. That was not why he was voted out. Right. It wasn't the stupid puzzle. But the thing was, he knew that it was just an excuse. He told Mike Bloom it was like Reem putting the clothes on the beach. Mm-hmm. Is that really a reason to vote someone out? No. Is that a reason to say you should vote someone out?
Yes.
Absolutely. People didn't care that he screwed up the puzzle. It's just an easy thing to say. But the thing is, as was already brought up, he never should have apologized for messing it up then. I don't know why that came up.
Yeah, this is something we've talked about too. Right. That moment when you come back onto the island, whether it be after a challenge or soon after the last thing you want to do is when you're all standing there, you start giving people a reason to then look at you. And so by him immediately opening up, going, "I'm so sorry, that was my fault. That was totally my fault." No, it really wasn't your fault because they didn't keep up on the physical component of it. So you're 15 minutes behind now.
I mean, he was part of the group that didn't keep up.
So it is everyone. And I do think that Roxroy was the one that pointed out that we all did this together.
Yeah, well
Drea
got out to the group. He's like, "Oh, no, we win as a team, we lose as a team." And then immediately he's behind his back. We need him off the team.
Yeah. Right. But the problem, and this is something we've all talked about, and Bote talked about that first vote. You look for something easy. The last thing you want to do is give the reason, over to everyone. Like, "Here, I screwed up. You use this as an excuse." Because that's the first vote. It's an excuse. It's looking for anything that you can point to and go, "This is why," because then you have groupthink and everyone starts going, "Oh, yes, that makes sense. It's something we can point to." And you don't feel bad because you're like, "Oh, yes, this is something we can all agree on." And so I do think there's less strategy and it's more that idea of let's find that easy something. And he gave it to them on a silver platter.
Right.
I will say, though, that when we lost our first challenge, Evie and Liliana had been on the puzzle. I think they handled it beautifully when they came back. They said, "Guys, I know we win as a team, lose as a team. Sorry, we didn't pull through on that puzzle." Mm-hmm. And then they moved on. So I think that's the best way. It's not because I forget who did this, but someone just completely ignored it. Oh, wait, is that Tiffany on the beam?
No, I didn't. You're such a liar.
I'm joking. No, but I'm saying if you just completely blow it off, keep belting people off. Right. So I think there's a fine balance. I'm just sorry I didn't pull that.
A fine balance? Was that another shot at her?
This is killer.
But, I mean, he said, "I am 100% responsible." He didn't say we. He didn't, and I don't know why he said that. I don't know what it was clipped from, but it was And the problem is, as he said, and as we saw, you had Roxroy pushing the strong challenge performance agenda. Mm-hmm. And so, that already narrowed it down.
Mm-hmm.
If challenge strength was truly the reason they voted him out, which he said he think that's the main reason. He said that in one of the social media Q&As. Then how do you blame Zach for being too weak? when Romeo was weak enough to sit out.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, the reason is because Romeo was Roxroy's ally and also Zach's ally for that matter. So you get to this point where it's like, we're going to vote out the weak. And unless the weakest person is my ally, and then I'm going to pretend that person isn't the weak, you know? And so, yeah, it was mostly a pile on. He noted that Tori was smart enough to latch onto it, even though she normally wouldn't care about challenge strength because she's a gamer, you know, except this time it served her. And so, of course, she jumped right on it. And so it does come down to, did the tribe make the right decision? I would say no, because they didn't vote out Tori, who I think is much more of a snake than Zach could ever be. And if they don't get rid of her soon, I think they'll regret it. But, you know, the thing is, Romeo is at the heart of most alliances on the tribe. They weren't going to target him as the weakest.
Right.
And, you know, I so he did the right thing by keeping his allies secure, or at least his best allies, I guess. You know, he knew someone had to go and he couldn't protect everyone.
Right.
And I think Swathi may come to regret it. And I think Romeo might too, unless they remedy it and get rid of Tori in a hurry.
Yeah.
I agree.
Agree.
David, you're right.
All right.
David, you're right.
All right.
I know.
As in Bloomberg, not Moche. Oh. But whatever.
Yeah. All right. So it is about time to wrap things up. Can you believe it? No. Let's start with Tiffany. What are your final thoughts?
Why do we start with me? My final thoughts are that I was...
Would you like to pass to Voce and let him do it?
Yes. Let him do it first, because I have a few and I have to think how I'm going to say this the right way. Sure. Voce, go first.
Sure.
I'm passing it to you, my love.
Thank you, Tiffany.
11. Just kidding. Sorry. No, I'm just kidding. Go.
I think Zach came into this game as a super fan, and you could tell his enthusiasm for the game and his knowledge based on RHAP, based on all the podcasts. And he came in with an actual strategy. If you look back at his pregame, he talked about relationships. He talked about even wanting to minimize his threat. So he clearly had an idea that was well developed into how he actually wanted to play the game. I think when he hit the beach, it kind of shocked him that, oh, this is actually Survivor. I think where Zach really struggled with, and just from what little we saw of him, is actually making those true relationships in terms of forging those life-on-life experiences to actually develop deep relationships. We saw him with his relationships with Romeo, but we didn't really see it go beyond that. And I think probably his downfall was his willingness to just kind of be a little bit sporadic with ratting out Tori and throwing her under the bus and kind of flipping it where everyone could see him kind of scrambling. That coupled with his just full-on admission of blame for losing the puzzle just made him the easy scapegoat early on. And so I think in other circumstances with other tribes, he could have done quite well. But I think he kind of found himself in this tribe of fish out of water and making the mistake of taking on blame, throwing other people under the bus. And he just became that target that was so easy for people to just say, sure, it's him.
Yeah. That was very well said. I mean, how do you top that? Jesus. Okay. Thanks, Voce. You're right.
You sent it over to him, Tiff.
And on to you, Tiff.
Yeah.
Yeah. Everything he said.
Yeah.
David, you're right. Okay. So what I would say is that I think what being a super fan and everything that he is and what David just explained, actually, Voce, why am I calling you David? I never call you David. What Voce just explained is true. And I think the one thing that everybody and anybody who's ever a super fan, a fan or watches, but has never played, never accounts for what happens when you hit that beach. And everything you know to be real in life just is gone. Everything you think you are, and it disappears so quickly because your agenda is is like, you forget. What am I here for? What am I doing? Am I really here? The shock of like, this is the beach. I'm on the beach. I'm on Survivor. I'm playing Survivor. Like, there are so many things running through your head. And that being coupled with being on a 6-person tribe, really, it takes a lot of like, I want to say confidence. And I'm not saying that he didn't have self-confidence. I'm just saying that I feel like he took, not that he gave up, but he just needed to be lean in a little bit more into his confidence in knowing the game and not be so quick to say, all right, it's over. I didn't do this, 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 and that. It's over. And I think he's going to look back and be like, why did I think that's going to be a sticking point. Like, why did I just say it was all me when clearly it wasn't, you know?
Right.
And I think that's going to stick with him. And I hate that for him because, you know, he's going to be memorable, you know? And I think that he had a moment where Jeff was like, okay, Zach, I know you're dying to do it. And he was just able to like recite Jeff's exact words at tribal council. And that was a great moment for him because it was going to be, you know, it was going to be over for him. And maybe that was a foreshadow, but I just feel like, you know, he gave it his best shot. He is still very young and there is no way to mimic what it's like once you hit that beach and you can go on there with every agenda in the world. But if you're just not with that right group of people for yourself, which I think he didn't find quite his niche in that group. Yeah. And that right away is very, it just takes you off balance. And I think that that's what happened to him a little bit on top of everything else. I think he was just struggling awkwardly to make connections that would have made him feel a little more confident out there. So, you know, but with that, you know, a memorable character, I was glad there's nobody I really don't love on the cast. And so with that, you know, I hope that he enjoyed it as much as I did and as much as everyone I know who plays does. And, you know, you can't, no regrets. You go out there, just remember you were out there, period.
Right.
You know, that in and of itself is a huge accomplishment. So don't let that fall wayside.
All right, my turn.
It is up to you, Jessica.
All right. I was really hoping for an Adam 2.0. I think a lot of us were, because that's what a lot of people saw in Zach when he did all of his pregame press and he was being compared to Adam. And Adam, I unfortunately am a little skewed on because I actually experienced Adam Klein because I played the game with him. But I do think what happened with Zach was something that had to do with his age. I think everything that we heard from both Boche and Tiffany is spot on. And I do think life experience becomes a part of that. The person who was the most like him in a physical stature was Romeo, right? But Romeo is 37 years old and Zach was 20. So there's something to be said about having 21, excuse me. that make the whole year, you know, but that there's something to be said about that difference. 16 years really changes how you perceive other people. Mm-hmm. It changes how you will present yourself to other people. And it changes that mentality when you are in that new space and experiencing something new. And how are you going to respond to it? Are you going to respond to it in a more younger, jovial fashion, which we saw happen, right? We saw the younger people come together and kind of create a little alliance and the older faction looking at that and kind of being annoyed with it, right? Because they were like, we're going to work hard. I'm going to do things. We're going to build the shelter. And then there was a lot of giggling happening over here in the corner. And so I do think that that can work against you when you come into an experience like this. And it is such a small tribe and everybody is very visible. And so you have someone like Zach versus someone like Romeo. And when you then look at who else is in the tribe, who are people going to understand better and who are they going to listen to more? And someone like Romeo, having that much more life experience, was able to combat that more than Zach could. So I do think that although he was young, he found himself in a situation where there was almost young versus old, but it didn't really work out for him because then it became a, we need to blame someone, right? We lost. And now who do we blame? And we blame the person who doesn't have enough life experience to realize we all screwed up. It wasn't just me. Everybody was involved in this. And then you take the blame. So I do feel for Zach that there just wasn't enough of him that he was able to bring to the table that made them realize that he was a benefit to the tribe. And instead, he was viewed as the reason why the tribe lost. And I don't think he was, but that's what became the reason for his demise. So I feel for him. I was hoping that we would get more Adam 2.0. We didn't, but love you, Zach. You did a great job out there.
Yeah. So you mentioned Adam 2.0. That is why I'm wearing this. This is Adam's shirt, worth a shot. Also works with Shot in the Dark. And he was looking when he came up to not vote, use his Shot in the Dark. You saw him looking all around. He was pulling at Adam Klein. He was absolutely looking for an immunity idol at that point.
Yes.
But he's Zach. And Zach came into the Survivor as similarly as a Super Duper fan who was on a tribe with several other super fans, but also other people who were not exactly Greek gods. Even as the tribe quickly broke down along age lines, Zach reached out, made an alliance with Romeo, as well as the one he had with Tori and Swathi. Unfortunately, unbeknownst to Zach, his alliances each had their own problems. With Tori, she was untrustworthy. With Swathi, she was clearly willing to sacrifice him at the drop of a hat in favor of a challenge performer. And Romeo, although he did want to align with Zach, wanted more to keep his alliance with Roxroy and Drea together. So while Zach did a number of things right, a couple other people just did them better. I do think a lot of it came down to Roxroy just being a father figure and caring about challenges and camp life more than almost anybody in a decade. And we thought it was bad when we discussed Drea in the preview podcast because she had brought up the same topic. And here they are together. Even though those two didn't necessarily get along very well, they did get along about one thing, and that was camp life. And, so I'm sure that helped hold them together along with Romeo. Zach trusted several people. It turned out he shouldn't have for various reasons. He thought he could rely on Tori and they'd go together against Drea. Instead, Tori turned on him after he warned her. He thought he could rely on Romeo, but Romeo wasn't giving up his other alliance for Zach. We noted very strongly that it wasn't the puzzle that caused the problem for Zach. It turns out it was the puzzle on Ika overall, where he didn't know exactly how all the pieces fit together or that Romeo was such an anchor piece, keeping it from falling apart. Since Roxroy had his mind set on strength, Romeo was aligned with Roxroy and Drea, it was easy for things to snowball into the unanimous vote we saw. And that is why Zach lost.
Ta-da! So,
that's right. All right, now.
Tiffany, you and I really are the same person.
It's very bad.
Yes.
So what's the over under on me ever being on this podcast again?
Well, we'll talk about that. We're not done yet.
It's not done.
Yeah, we're not done. Just so before we get to our predictions, so we still got that.
Yeah.
Let me remind
I'm going to defer to Voce.
No deferring. Let me remind everyone that the rules we just discussed are available in poster and t-shirt and mug and sweatshirt form. For shirts or mug, go to robhiswebsite.com/yxlostfeed.
No, Tiffany's down here.
What? Oh, Voce, not now. What?
I feel violated right now. I'm trying to advertise the rules.
We gotta wrap this up, Bloomberg. This is getting real X-rated.
I was trying to point to the posters, and I went this way and this way, and he went this way.
Well, he was trying to point to the link down.
A link.
Down there.
Oh, 11.
Yeah.
Well,
all right. So it is time for Jessica and me to make some predictions. Oh, I know, Jessica, how much you love this. I will go first. I will start.
Thank God.
Yes. I'll start thank by you. Saying after Erica's win last season, I feel pretty good about my winner pick Chanel being almost invisible in this episode.
Hi, same thing. All he did was rub too much blood on himself. Come on, hi.
So normally I'd be upset, but now it seems like a good sign.
It works.
So moving on to how I think things will go in the next episode, it seems pretty likely, as we have hinted throughout, that Ika will go back to Tribal Council again. They got rid of Zach, but that just means they can't sit out Romeo now.
Right.
And, you know, once they lose, this tribe is still a mess. We saw, that Zach further, and then Zach further described conflict between Roxroy and Drea, between Drea and Tori, likely between Tori and everyone who she may still be mad at because of her own mistake. But that's exactly it. It does look like, no matter what else is going on, it looks like Tori versus the tribe. Because Zach said if the shot in the dark had worked for him, it would have undoubtedly been unanimously Tori voted out. There wouldn't have been another thought.
Yeah.
And, you know, he didn't even seem to think Swati or Romeo would have been particularly upset about that result. So I know it's possible things can change in the next episode, but Tori is going to have to do some serious work to stick around.
Yeah.
And plus, if that clip that we talked about that I was so angry about of her apparently finding the Beware advantage, if that is true, it is unlikely that the two on the other tribe will also be found before the challenge, which means she will have no vote. If all of that happens. So I'm just going to go with the straightforward pick and say Tori is next.
And I don't disagree with that, because I do feel like Tori is someone who we like. She was the person I was most concerned with on this tribe going into the first episode, thinking that she was going to get voted out first. I think that Tori is very sure of herself, and I'm very concerned
in more ways than just the game. Yes.
Oh, for sure. But I think that once we know that she's found the advantage with the potato, whatever that is all going to be, I think that that's going to elevate her. I'm so sure of myself, because now she's going to have this thing, and I don't think she's going to handle it correctly. And so I think it's probably going to backfire on her, because it's going to, instead of it feeling like, okay, I've got this thing that's been my little secret, I feel like Tori is not going to be able to handle it properly, which is then going to let the whole tribe know that this is what's happening. And then that's going to elevate the, like, we got to send Tori home. Because I think what happened, and correct me if I'm wrong, both Jay and Tiffany, but it seemed like in your season, it was almost like nobody wanted to vote out the people that had the advantages.
Well,
or wanted
certain
to do
people
that.
Didn't want to. Certain people who might be on this podcast in the who may have said, but he doesn't have a vote. Why do we have to worry about him? Nobody's going to find the other advantages.
So my
and he didn't have a vote for a
It's
long
not
time.
Going to work the same for Tori. I think that once they learn that Tori has this thing that I'm a potato, it's not going to work for Tori. Yeah.
All right. So we're in agreement.
Yeah.
All right. Well, then, as we start to wrap up here, and I say start to because who knows what will come up in the next five
anything
minutes,
but, could happen.
I want to encourage people to check out the RHAP Patreon.
We haven't
program.
Even mentioned Tiffany's torch yet.
I know. Luckily, it's not lit and burning down the house.
Actually, it will be lit soon because it seems that my husband placed a candle on top of it.
Oh, nice.
To light it. So if you want me to wrap that up like that,
I want to encourage people to check out the RHAP patron program, just like Zach and his mom at robhasawebsite.com/patron or on the YX Lost feed page. There's a link to it there.
Is there a way that the patrons can donate to therapy bill for Tiffany?
No, I think she'd have to start her own GoFundMe for
you
that.
You know what? I think,
oh my God, Voce, you should start a GoFundMe for Tiffany.
Voce, you start a GoFundMe for me, and let's see if I get like even $3, because if
I would
like,
donate, I would definitely donate.
She's so well adjusted, she doesn't need therapy. And she's already on Effexor because she told everybody that anyway. So what the hell does she need therapy for? They're just going to tell me it's my father's fault. That's what they always say about everything. Oh, it's your parents' fault. No, I'm just a little cuckoo.
This is a therapy session.
So, anyway. But yes, in the patron group, there is, I mean, you could talk to lots of people, and that's kind of like therapy. Because you could get group therapy when you know, something happens on Survivor, and then you want to talk about it. So you could do that in the patron Facebook group. Survivor, Big Brother, Canadian Big Brother's going on right now, just life in general. So you can support shows like ours and everything on the network, not Tiffany's therapy bills, by becoming
a patron. Or if you can, if you want.
Yeah. but not by becoming a patron at robhasapod.com/patron again, or click on the link at robhasapod.com/yxlostfeed page. And when you get to the Facebook groups, make sure to say hello to me and Jessica and Zach and Zach's mom.
Yes. Or you can also follow us on Twitter. And I don't say or, you should do both. Follow us on Twitter. I'm at JessicaLewis89. He's at over here. I don't even know which way. There you go. At David Bloomberg. And we've got, David Voce is on Instagram. And Tiffany, you don't.
At David J. Voce.
Right. At David J. Voce. And Tiffany, you don't see her tag because it's...
No one really wants to be a part of her media.
But you should definitely follow us all on Twitter because the conversations are highly entertaining. And if this podcast is any representation of the conversations that we have on Twitter, then damn it, follow all of us.
Voce, you don't know what you are missing on Twitter.
I think I do. I think for my sanity, I'm not.
Well, you could just follow Tiffany and Evie, and you know. So
I mean, it's hours of fun.
Yeah. Well, there you go. He doesn't have hours. So
listen. All right.
Yes. So of course, everyone on Twitter should use the hashtag for this podcast, YXLost,
and also hashtag 11.
Yeah. Hashtag 11. Hashtag Tiffany.
Yeah.
12. It doesn't stop.
Everybody should, of course, follow me on TikTok, where I'm at David_Bloomberg. I've mentioned before, I have been doing usually two a day. Hit a little bit of a slow point, only one today, but it was on Greek God Jonathan.
Ooh, only one.
I know. What? So we'll get back into the groove. Many of them will be Survivor related. There could be, there were Joe Millionaire related. There's this new show called The Courtship, which is utterly ridiculous on NBC.
Can you do Love Island with me and Tiffany?
They can.
CBS is moving.
It's moving to what's it called? Network. Peacock, I think.
Peacock. I love these two.
This is so much fun.
See?
So everybody make sure that you're subscribed to all of the RHAP Survivor podcasts. Again, by going to the YX Lost feed page, you'll find all the great content like the Know It Alls, the B&B, Stockwatch, Survivor International, and much more.
Make my other half of my heart.
I don't know what
I'm trying. I can't meet it. How do I meet it? There we go.
See, that's what's wrong with my husband over here.
This is so terrible.
Go. Jeff, we got it.
You guys got it. I can't do it. Ooh, yeah. Bloomberg, I'm there.
Wait, what's happening? Wait a minute. Come on. This is so cool.
All right. Nobody who is just listening to this podcast has any idea what's going on now.
Why is it so hard?
We are. People are making shapes.
Tiffany, that's inappropriate. Okay. I'm a man.
I don't know what I just missed. I'll have to rewatch the podcast.
I don't think you said.
I have no idea what I just missed. There.
You should stop the podcast here it becomes any it degrades any further.
So Jessica, are you able to speak?
Thank you so much to Scott St. Pierre for all the editing that he does on this incredible podcast, and also thank you to Will from America for the theme song that you made for us. It's so amazing. And thank you to Tiffany and Voce for this amazing commentary on both life and your relationship and Survivor. I think my face is
hurts. Mine hurts.
It hurts. So
bad. Oh, your face is hurt. Your face is hurt. Really? I can help.
Oh my God, you can. You are a doctor. I hear you prescribe things.
Doctor Death.
Oh my God. So thank you, everyone, because I apologize to our listeners if this is a little bit much, but God, it was fun. So we had a good time.
It's a good thing we only had to talk about, we did talk about Jackson, obviously, but could you imagine if we had two people to go through the rules?
This is too much.
So let me join in the thanks, of course, to Voce and Tiffany. This has been a lot of fun. And thank you, of course, Jessica. And I think that... on that note, we will see everybody next week. Bye.
Bye. You lost Survivor and you're feeling down. David and
Jessica will turn it around. They'll break down the rules and they'll show you how. You played yourself and got voted out. This is why Blank lost. And this is why Blank lost.